Mets fans, welcome back to Amazing Avenue Audio, the show. My name is Brian. With me, as always, is Chris. And Chris, we are sitting here recording on the first of a number of off days because both NLCS and ALCS were decided over the weekend, and therefore the World Series is not beginning until, what is it, the 28th? Is that Friday night?
Yeah.
Yes, we have almost a full week of no baseball here. It is a Phillies-Astros World Series, which is not quite the worst World Series I can imagine, but it's not too much different from that. How are you feeling about the two teams that are in the Fall Classic this year?
I don't have super strong feelings about the Astros anymore. You know, I mean, I understand if people do, of course, considering the fashion in which they won the World Series previously, but I don't know. I am totally fine with them. It, you know, given the context that it's either them or the Phillies.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's in terms of rooting interest, it's a clear choice.
Right, right, but yeah, I don't know. Like Yordan Alvarez has been sort of an anchor for my in a good way, the anchor of my fantasy team for the last couple of years. And he didn't have anything to do with that. Trey Mancini's on the team. He's obviously got his own great story, you know, returning from cancer and still not just surviving, but being still a very good Major League Baseball player. And anytime somebody gets traded out of a spot like Baltimore where they've been stuck mostly on very bad teams and they're a likable player and you know, now they're in you know, a good situation playing in the World Series, that's easy to root for. Obviously, you can find plenty of negatives there if you want to. But look, the Astros eliminated the Yankees. I thank them for that service. The Phillies eliminated the Braves from the playoffs, which is nothing to sneeze at.
And retired Yadier Molina.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And the Cardinals. Yeah. Yep, should have mentioned that too. But yeah, the ideal scenario, once the Mets lost, the ideal scenario was that the Yankees, Braves, and I guess Cardinals, but those two teams were eliminated. So both teams that have gotten here, even though they wouldn't have been my top choice, I think Mariners Padres would have been probably been my like Mets free World Series preference.
Yeah. I could have survived with the Blue Jays.
Oh yeah.
Or the Guardians. Yeah, I'd be okay with any of those.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I just like the Mariners were eliminated a day before the Mets.
Right.
The Blue Jays were eliminated a day before the Mets. But any of those four teams, Rays, Guardians, Mariners, Blue Jays, they all would have been fine by me. But
yeah, it's amazing. It's interesting to see how – go ahead. Sorry.
No. To me, Astros-Phillies is a massive step up from Yankees-Braves.
Yeah, I will agree with that. Although I think my Yankee sympathies are higher than they were – let's call it a decade ago. Part of that is I have two nephews who just absolutely adore the Yankees and are good. Like they are good young baseball fans. They know stats and they make me proud as a baseball fan that there are young fans who care about the game the way that I care about the game when I was their age. Right. So I feel like for them, I root for the Yankees. I have a couple of really good friends who are big Yankee fans. My Yankee feelings are not nearly as strong as they once were. I would root for if gun to my head, I had to choose Yankees or Phillies, I'd have rooted for the Yankees.
I think my rankings would have had the Yankees second to last, but I could justify that as well. It's not as strong as it was.
You also live in enemy territory. Like
I
live in the suburbs where it's relatively split. And while there are definitely more Yankee fans, they're not as obnoxious as, you know, if you were living in the Bronx the way you do.
Right. Yeah, no, there's something about just seeing the place all the time. I will say I was around. I didn't go to Game 4, but I was around the stadium because of work as people are coming in for game four. And I, for one of the very few times, just felt bad watching them get off the train. They're going to see their team that's down 3-0. It was not cold, but it was chilly and damp. Just like as bleak as it could get, both in terms of weather and the outlook on their season at that point. And I was just like, oh man, you know, obviously I'd prefer that the Mets were still in it and playing a game themselves yesterday afternoon. And you take that, all that pressure and stress and all that. Of course I would take that, but there was some relief in going like, oh man, I did that walk 2 weeks ago. I got that out of my way, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I've also had Yankee fans just flat out insult me walking to that same train for no reason other than like I had a Mets hat.
I luckily don't take that kind of garbage.
So for all of them, enjoy your off season. Thorough. But there were people who are like, I don't think if I had a Mets hat on, these guys would be giving me shit, you know?
Right.
The
one hard thing about
good riddance to the Braves, mostly.
Yes, absolutely. The one hard thing about this this World Series, from my perspective, is I've been doing the game threads for the different games that I missed yesterday. Don't tell anybody. But I always try to pick a former Met as the avatar, as the photo there. And there are precious few former Mets still in this still in the World Series. We're looking at Rafael Montero, Noah Syndergaard, Zach Wheeler. That might be it, I think. Maybe one more Philly, but I can't recall offhand. But it's that's tricky for me. I mean, fuck, I had to go with Luis Rojas last week to find a Yankee one, because I've used Miguel Castro twice already, so I had to go with somebody. So yeah.
I mean, hey, look, if you want to reach back for the photo that I think I've mentioned like 5 times on this podcast, but Rafael Montero's death stare into my lens.
Yes.
From spring training, like, I don't know, a year or two before he made his major league debut. You could always go with that.
I didn't realize I could go with Mets legend Brad Hand. Because Hand is, although I don't know if he's on the postseason roster for the Phillies.
Yeah, no, he gave up a home run to the Padres the other night that temporarily would have made the series even.
Oh, okay.
They came back in that game, obviously.
And yeah. And then Kevin Long also was a Mets coach. So that, like, you could go Kevin Long also.
Yeah.
That's it. So we'll look forward to those photos in a few days, folks.
Cover Story from New York Magazine is back. I'm Hannah Rosen, host of Season 2, Seed Money. This season, we have a story about a billionaire.
He's the most articulate. He's the most savvy. He's the most, he's very cunning.
An ex-spy.
This isn't an aberration that just happened, you know, a couple years ago. This is a pattern of behavior.
Many, many women.
It's almost like he's using all the women as a startup company.
And so, so many lies.
It happens once in everybody's life, and this guy is a master liar. Master liar.
If I can't stop him, I don't think anybody will be able to stop him.
And what did you think about yourself?
I was the dumbest motherfucker in the United States. He got me good.
Cover Story Season 2, Seed Money. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
So, you know, we're not going to get too deep into postseason stuff because we have so much time to talk about that. We do want to mention Francisco Alvarez had successful surgery on his ankle, which was the injury that befell him late in the summer that, you know, some feel was the reason why he was not called up as early as maybe Mets fans would have liked. That's a conversation for a different day, but we're glad that his surgery went well. And we also should note that the nominees, the finalists for the Gold Glove, were announced last week. There is one Met present, and that is Tomas Nido, who is one of the finalists for the catching position. What's really strange, though, is that there was this year a new Go Glove announced for the utility players. Folks felt like this was the way to give Luis Guillorme a Gold Glove. And then Luis Guillorme not nominated for the Gold Glove. What's up with that, man?
Yeah, I really don't understand. I know, I think it was Mark Simon who made the point that after those nominations came out, that everybody is inclined to support their own guys and hasn't seen everyone from around the league and all that. But I don't know. I don't know how you could not have Luis Guillorme up there when you see what he is capable of. And you know that his whole role was to be that versatile guy, and he excelled in the field at every position that he played. I just don't get it. Like, it felt like he was adding value to the team in the field almost every game he was out there.
Yeah.
Watching not only what he was capable of doing on his own, but in conjunction with the other infielders, obviously more so when he was playing second base, but the way that they would turn double plays and make it look so easy between him and Lindor. Sometimes Escobar, depending on, who started it, or mm-hmm. Jeff McNeil. But yeah, can't wrap my head around it. There was some overlap too, right? With guys who were nominated at other positions.
Yes. Which Instead also makes no just, sense.
Utility guys? Yeah. I don't know. Baseball awards are so dumb.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it. They are very dumb. I am legitimately curious. I mean, do we know for sure how the nomination process works? Can we get some records here in terms of, who was nominating him? I don't understand when looking at the list. And I want to look it up right now. Hang on a second. I'm doing this. National League Gold Glove Utility. Who else was nominated? Because it wasn't McNeil. People were mad McNeil was nominated. I was like, McNeil's not great, right? Like, McNeil is good at all those positions.
Right. But, No, that made sense to me.
That makes total sense. But I'm trying to see who the nominees were for utility. Let's see. I have it right here. Brendan Donovan from the Cardinals, Tommy Edman from the Cardinals, and Dalton Varsho from the Diamondbacks. And, those guys are fine, but I feel like if you watch enough, and this is not me, I cannot tell you the last time I watched Baseball Tonight. If they still do web gems, which maybe they do, maybe they don't, I feel like Guillorme was making plays that I would see on Twitter, non-Mets fans tweeting out, because the plays were just so fantastic. I did not see as many of those things from the Varshos of the world. Again, doesn't mean that they weren't there. I just wasn't seeing them with as much regularity. And again, I'm a Mets homer, et cetera, et cetera. It just seems to me like Luis Guillorme was absolutely robbed of this, especially when, like you said, it was basically conceived as a Guillorme award. So I don't get it, but, what are we going to do? I'm just going to bitch and moan about it, I guess. But, hey, the way this season ended, let us bitch and moan about something, right?
Yeah. That's what you do. That's what you have to do.
Yeah. How do you feel about Nito as the Gold Glove nominee?
Sure, why not? I hope he wins. I didn't notice that in watching all of the Mets this season. I didn't think he was bad or anything, but there was no part of me that went at the end of the year like, wow, Tomas Nito really, made a huge difference defensively. But he's nominated, so I hope he wins.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, when you're watching him versus McCann, McCann has the arm, but nothing else in McCann's game even came close to Nito's. And as I was writing up that announcement, I dug into a little bit of the stats, and I was specifically using the Baseball Prospectus catching stats, which tend to be the ones that, to me, just, I like how they separate things on the Baseball Prospectus stats. And it seemed to me like there was just, when you're looking at it, like, oh, wow, it actually makes a lot of sense that he's nominated. Look at all this stuff he did. It seems like he did have an excellent defensive season, even if, like you said, he wasn't sort of popping our eyeballs every couple of days with a great play here and there. So, good for him. Again, I hope he wins. I hope he gets up and says Luis Guillorme was robbed whenever he's interviewed on MLB Network or wherever they announce the Gold Gloves nowadays. And that's about my thoughts on the Gold Glove. I wish I had more interesting things to say, but I don't. It will be kind of funny if he beats Darnold and Real Muto for it.
Yeah.
Just because that's just funny.
Yeah, oh, for sure. And speaking of Real Muto, I think he's the only part of what's left in this postseason that makes me feel maybe a little bit of bitterness, just because it seems like the Mets under Steve Cohen had that decision been presented a year later, mm-hmm. between McCann and him as the top free agent options at catcher, that maybe they would have leaned a little more toward Real Muto. Obviously, hindsight's 2020, but
right.
Those of us who strongly preferred that at that time were right. And we'll get into all the hot stove offseason stuff, but hopefully at this point they can just find a way to dump McCann on somebody and then either give Alvarez that shot or come up with another plan at catcher.
Yeah. Yeah, I do think that there is, and today is probably not the time to do it, I think there is a longer conversation to be had about Alvarez and about Alvarez being brought up at maybe the worst possible time and being put in a really terrible position, and how I hope that fans do not... I hope that the fans do not judge him based on the 6 or 10 games, however many games we got with him as a major leaguer thus far, because it's just not... I really think he was done dirty by the whole thing. I do.
I get that. I mean, I'm sure he was happy to get the shot, mm-hmm. you know? But I hope nobody is going to take that tiny, tiny, tiny amount of playing time and try to draw any conclusions on it, you know? Mm-hmm. I feel like every game he catches in spring training next year is going to be analyzed under a microscope in terms of defense.
Yeah.
That's where I feel like people are going to start to make up their mind about him.
That's probably a good point, yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, it's entirely possible that people are already doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think that's just about all the Mets news we have for this week. You know, there's not a ton going on right now. Once the World Series ends and options are picked up or declined and the hot stove starts heating up, we'll be back with more. And, I guess for now, whoever the lesser of your two evils are in the World Series, good luck to that team for all of you. And, Chris, what is your music pick for this week?
So... I'm going to see how long of a streak I can keep going in these episodes of Desert Days based music picks. So in that spirit, I'm going to go with a band that we saw for the first time at this year's version of the festival. Another Tuareg band from, these guys are from Algeria, but if you've listened to any of the MG Mokhtar music that I've recommended in the past, and you listen to this band, they're called Imarhan. And the album I'll recommend is their self-titled record, which was the first release, at least as far as major releases go. It came out back in 2016. They've had two records since then. It's just this one had the songs that sort of caught my attention a little bit going into it, and then a couple of the songs that they played during their set that were just really, really good. Are on this record. So that's the one I'll go with. I have no idea if they're touring anywhere else anytime soon. I know a lot of the bands that were at that festival came through New York City over the last couple weeks. But start with this record, especially if you liked MG Mokhtar. But even if you didn't listen to that, hey, you know, give this one a shot and and maybe this is your pathway to him. But either way, definitely like this record, and look forward to hearing more from these guys.
Very nice, very nice. I came about this pick through a truly bizarre circuitous path. So I, when I am stressed out, when I am having a bad day, one of the things that I do is I watch videos about guitar pedals on YouTube. This is how I deal with my stress. I'm a big fan of like demos and all this. And I found this pedal company called JHS Pedals. And I have one of their pedals, which I love. It's called the Color Box. I actually first heard about it through Jeff Tweedy of Wilco using one. But so the JHS channel on YouTube is great. And there's lots of interesting videos and all that. And they released this week a signature pedal for a guitar player called Madison Cunningham. I had not heard of I'd heard of her, rather, but I'd never heard her music before. And it's a vibrato pedal. And I'm not the world's biggest vibrato effect user guy. But during the video, they kind of jam on some music, and I was like, wow, she's an incredible guitar player. How have I not really encountered this before? So I checked out her most recent album called Revealer, and it sounds to me in places like a female-fronted version of The Sea and Cake, which if you get that reference, first of all, thank you for listening. Second of all, that is like my shit. That is a female-fronted Sea and Cake is a very, very specific Brian thing. But her guitar parts are just really interesting. None of these songs do what you expect them to do. And that is my biggest complaint with music in 2022. I feel like so many bands, they have their thing they do. And their whole album is like 11 variations on the thing they do. And the tracks don't really surprise me. I have friends who are very tired of me ranting about this. But this is how I feel about a lot of music. Just nobody is surprising me anymore. And each track on the Madison Cunningham record does something that I would never have expected it to do, whether it's like a riff that comes in or the way the chorus hits or a lyric or whatever it is. Like everything just feels surprising for it. And that is just the best. I really love when music surprises me. And so also you'll hear a lot of the vibrato guitar sound that I mentioned before. Which, again, for her music works really, really well. So, yeah, this is definitely the first record I've ever discovered because of a guitar pedal demo. But, you know, hey, why not? So, yeah, Revealer by Madison Cunningham. It's a new record. It's very good. I hope you enjoy it.
Yeah, no, I like that. I like that story to getting there a lot. I think that's a fun thing with music, how you wound up, you know, finding something.
Yeah. I always try to remember, like, how did I find out about this band? And sometimes it's just as simple as, like, Chris mentioned it on the show. And sometimes it's, you know, this very, very, I saw this band open for so-and-so. And it's, I always like those, you know, pathways to there. But yeah. Anyway, thank you all for listening. We truly appreciate it. Please go to AmazingAvenue.com. It's been a little bit quiet around those parts lately, but as the off season progresses, I'm sure we'll have more to say. We should also mention day after the World Series starts our Amazing Avenue AAOP off season plan contest. I had to make sure I was getting the letters right, the AAOP, where we have fun playing GM. We'll have some fun prizes for that. So look out the day after the World Series for that to drop. You can also find Amazing Avenue on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Amazing Avenue. You can find this show wherever you get podcasts. Wherever you get those podcasts, please rate, review, and subscribe to the show. We appreciate that as well. Chris is on Twitter at Chris McShane. I am on Twitter at Brian Needs an App. And until next time, let's go Mets.